I want to read verse 5 through 10 of 1 John. No new thoughts, or certainly not an unfamiliar passage to us. But the Lord brought me to this message in a backwards or reverse kind of a way, because he had me studying and looking at that thought of cleansing in verse number 9, and that's found in this passage of Scripture. And from studying and seeking the Lord to give me understanding in what it means when God speaks of cleansing here, he brought us, again, in a backwards kind of a way, to this message. Let's begin reading with verse number 5 and read to verse number 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We want to consider the subject of fellowship with God. Or maybe, more accurately, experiencing fellowship with God. This passage of Scripture is not to the lost. This passage of Scripture, the context here is God speaking to his people. Amen. He's speaking to us. And we see in this passage of Scripture, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of his being our Savior and our being brought into a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have fellowship with God. Amen. And that can never truly be lost. But what can be lost is our experiencing that fellowship, that communion. Here in this first chapter of 1 John, he speaks of forgiveness. He speaks of cleansing. And in Christ, we are forgiven. Not some of our sins, but all of our sins. And we are cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of some, but of all of our sins. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. But we spend much of our life as God's people not experiencing that forgiveness and that cleansing. We see in verse number 9, what I will say tonight is the key to experiencing fellowship with God. It is a subject we don't hear much preaching on anymore. We just did, praise God. All of God's dealing and all of God's patience with Israel was to bring them to confession of their sins and their distance from him, to bring them to repentance. But we don't hear much preaching about confession in our Baptist churches today. It's like we're afraid of the subject. But verse number 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess, God forgives. And God cleanses. And we experience that fellowship with Him. That communion. Because sin always separates us from God. Sin always distances us. Not that God moves, but we're the one who moves. And we don't experience forgiveness and cleansing like we should and like we could. Now, before we get into verse number 9, from verse 5 down to verse number 10, there are some preliminary things that I think we need to take note of in regards to fellowshipping with God and experiencing that fellowship. Verse number 5 tells us that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. To have fellowship with God, to experience fellowship with God, we need an understanding of God's holiness. And we underappreciate and we undervalue the holiness of God. God is infinitely holy. And if we had 100 lifetimes, the aid of the Holy Spirit, we would never enter in to the depths of the holiness of God. But to have fellowship with Him, we have to grasp that He is holy. Perfect holiness. The angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." In Scripture, many cry out to the holiness of God. We need to grasp tonight the holiness of God. In Him is no darkness at all. He's perfectly holy. In verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." This then is the message God has given us. This is the message from God that we declare unto you. And I believe verse number 5 lays before us that to have fellowship with God and to appreciate, experience fellowship with God, we have to accept the authority of Scripture. Amen. This is God's Word. Amen. It's not partly God's Word. It's all God's Word. All God breathed. Everything we read, everything we find in this book is truth. And this book lifts up before us the holiness of God and the person of Jesus Christ, in which God's holiness is revealed. The standard of holiness is this book and what this book reveals unto us. We need to accept and understand the holiness of God, accept and understand that this book is God's Word. It's God's Word. We can't trifle with it. We can't pick and choose what we're going to do and what we're not going to do and what we like and what we don't like. Verse number 6 says, "If we have fellowship, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're a liar." I say this often. When I was growing up, you never called anybody a liar. Well, my mom would get all over you if you used that word liar. That was a bad word. And I always say, when God calls somebody a liar, it's okay, because God is holy and righteous and just, and God knows a liar. And God can get away with it. And if you and I have any walk in darkness at all in our life and think we have fellowship with God, God says we are liars. It's not walking in a dark world. It's having the darkness of the world in our life. And folks, we can't play games and have the world saturated in our life and then brag about having fellowship with God. We justify and we condone and we explain away the sins in our life all the while thinking we have fellowship with God. It doesn't work that way. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We've got to walk in light to have fellowship with God. We just got to walk in light. Verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, as we just heard, that's pretty much what Israel's idea was many times. We read that same line of thought in the book of Malachi. Wherein have we done this? Wherein have we done that? What are these accusations? We haven't done any of these things. But folks, we do the same thing. We feel pretty good about ourselves. We judge ourselves by one another. We judge ourselves by brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. We judge ourselves by other people in the church, and we feel really good about ourselves and our holiness and our separation. Many times we have this opinion that we don't have any sin in our life. Not so. Not so. There will be no fellowship with God if we say we have no sin. It's not possible. And then in verse number 9, to have fellowship with God, one must confess sin. We must confess our sins to have fellowship with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The principal thought there in Amos is not two people walking together, but the principal thought there is us walking with God. We cannot walk with God unless we're agreed with God. And God knows we have sin. We have to agree with God if we want to have fellowship. We have to confess our sins. Now, I'm just looking at verse number 9 for the rest of the time tonight. This is the key to our experiencing fellowship with God. If we confess our sins, we'll experience the fellowship of God, fellowship with God. I have a hard enough of a problem with English. So I have to do a lot of studying to look into the Greek and understand all the tenses and all the things Scripture is actually telling us. And as I've studied this ninth verse, this if we confess our sins, it's not talking about a one-and-done confession, a one-time thing. What we're being told here in verse number 9 is if we continue to confess our sins, walking with God and fellowshipping with God requires a constant confession of our sins. We can't do it once a week. We can't do it once a year. We have to be confessing our sins, I believe, on a daily, on a moment-to-moment basis. Because we fail our Lord just that much. We schedule revival services because we think revivals can be scheduled, and they can't. They come from God, or they don't come according to God's will. And if we think we can have a revival and schedule a special service and revival is going to come, if we just confess our sins once a year, twice a year, we're going to experience fellowship with God, we're deceived. Psalms 51, one of the most known confessions of sin in Scripture. David relates to us his confession. And he cries out before the Lord in Psalms 51, verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." Here's confession.
Amen.
David had lost that experience of fellowship with God. David, who is described as a man after God's own heart, had let sin get into his life and terrible disobedience to God, even to the point of causing a man's death.
Amen.
And his sin just came over him. It was drowning him. He looked at his hands and he could see the blood. As he laid in bed, he would remember God brought him under heavy, heavy conviction and work of the Spirit. And he cries out and confesses. No holds barred. Confesses his filth, his sin. To have fellowship with God, we got to get serious about God's holiness, our sinfulness, and the need for confession.
Amen.
A pouring out before God, an acknowledgement of our sin. Back in chapter 32, Psalms, the fifth verse. So many things in this chapter. Verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." The word blessed means happy. Happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. And he goes into this feeling of his sin and his keeping silence, and God's dealing with him. Day and night, God's hand being heavy upon him, his weeping to where he couldn't weep anymore. And then finally in verse number 5, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid." It never was hid from God. Our sin is never hid from God. He's all-knowing. He sees it. But we think it's hid because we hide it. We conceal it. We push it aside. We put it under the rug. We want to spend one more night with the frogs. We want to spend one more night in the pigsty. "I acknowledge my sin. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Folks, God loves His people. God takes no pleasure, as we've already heard, in chastising and punishing His people. God desires, if I could say that, God desires fellowship and sweet communion with His people. And God never changes in those things. We're the ones who let sin come into our life and robs us of that. We confess our sins. He'll forgive us as He did the psalmist here, as He did David, and as He speaks of there in our text. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. As our brother has just laid before us, God is good. And we say amen. I was thinking of Moses' request of God, show me your glory. Did you ever notice there in the book of Exodus when Moses said, God, show me your glory. Let me just get a glimpse of your glory. And God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock, and I'm going to have my goodness pass before you. The first thing God did to reveal His glory to Moses was show Moses His goodness. It cannot be stated great enough and loud enough. God is good. But just equal to that, we can declare, God is faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness. Day after day, morning by morning, year after year, God is faithful. And I don't believe He's speaking about if we confess, He will faithfully or consistently forgive us. I believe what He is saying is if we confess our sins, God is faithful to His Word. God is faithful to His promises. God is faithful to His covenants, and God is faithful to what He declares in this book. And God has declared when we confess our sins, if we'll cry out unto Him, He'll forgive us. That's the faithfulness of God. Messed up again. That's all right. God is faithful to His promises. Israel messed up over and over and over again, and God was always there saying, if my people. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to His Word and promises. He's going to forgive me. Oh, thank God for His faithfulness. How many times have you failed the Lord in sin since He saved your unworthy soul? How long did it take you to lose count? And if we confess, truly confess our sins under the working of the Spirit of God, and I'll just say this and can't pursue it any further. When we sin, it is God who seeks us. We don't seek Him. It is God who draws us. It is God who convicts. It is God who brings us even to confession. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, Proverbs 28, verse number 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Let me just say that that's the Word of God. That's a promise. That's a pledge from God. God is faithful. He's faithful to His Word. He's faithful to what He states there. We hide our sins, we conceal our sins, we justify our sins, we tolerate our sins. We say, let's deal with it next week, let's deal with it next month, let's deal with it next year. God is faithful to His Word. We hide and cover our sins, we'll not prosper. We'll suffer at our own hands. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them might have mercy. Well, here's a commitment. Here's a promise. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God said in Leviticus, He was speaking about Israel's confession, Israel's coming back to Him. And God gave a promise, I will remember the covenant of their father. Abraham, Isaac, said, I'll remember that covenant. He's faithful. He's not only faithful to His word and His promises, He'll do what He said. But He's just. God makes no mistakes. Everything God does is righteous and just. Because all of our sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of our sins, past, present, and future, were paid for in Christ, God is just when we sin still to forgive us. Though we sin often, still to forgive us. Though we sin constantly, it seems like, He's just to forgive us. Now back there in verse number 9 of our text, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and God is just . And we read the last part of verse number 9 usually very hurriedly. And we read it usually almost as though God's only saying one thing here. But God's saying two things here. If we confess our sins, God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are not synonymous terms. God's not talking about if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Not a run-on thought here. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful to His word and God is faithful to His promises to forgive us and to cleanse us. Forgiveness has to do with the guilt of our sin. When we sin, guilt comes. And forgiveness is God's removing of that guilt. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, to remove that guilt. And if we're truly saved, we're going to have guilt. If you can sin without guilt, you probably need to be saved. If you can continue in sin without any conviction and any wanting to confess before God, you may need to be saved. If you made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you walk a church aisle and you went out of that church back to the same life you lived before you said the Lord saved you, you might need to be saved. Because when God brings us to conviction, Holy Spirit comes in. And we can't sin without guilt and remorse. And when we confess our sins, God removes that guilt. You can't have fellowship with God and have guilt. Remember when you was young, doing something mom and dad didn't want you to do? And they didn't know about it yet? Remember that feeling of guilt and how you started trying to avoid them? Guilt separates. Guilt separates us from fellowship with God. Sin will always bring guilt if we're truly saved and the Spirit of God dwells within us. And guilt will separate us from experiencing fellowship with God. And when the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess our sins, He removes that guilt. over in chapter 2, verse number 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Praise God for the forgiveness of sin. Praise God for the removal of guilt when we sin as his children, when we confess our sins. But then he says here in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the longest time, I read that kind of as a run-on. As longest time, I just couldn't grasp there was a difference between forgiveness and cleansing. But there is. Forgiveness is God's removing the guilt of our sins. But when we sin, it not only brings guilt, but sin brings defilement. Sin brings pollution. Sin brings filth into our life. And when we confess our sins, God removes the guilt from us, but he also cleanses us from the filth and the defilement of that sin. In verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Back up in verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Folks, when we sin, it separates us from God and fellowship with God, and our experience, experiencing that fellowship. And when we confess it, he's faithful and just to remove the guilt that separates us. And he cleanses us from the filth and the pollution that defiles us. It keeps us from fellowshipping with him. I think that's at the very crust of what the Lord was teaching when he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus went around washing the disciples' feet, and old Peter says, "Wash all of me." The Lord says, "You don't need to be washed all over." Those were his disciples. Those were saved folks the Lord was teaching something to. You don't need to be washed all over. You just need to have your feet cleansed from the filth, the defilement of the walk in this world. Do you understand? Jesus said, "Do you understand what I've done to you?" Was it another ordinance he was given to us? Was it something he wants repeated in our churches today? No, praise God. I think feet are the ugliest part of the body. I'm so thankful we don't have to deal with that. But he was teaching them, those who are saved, as we walk in this life, we get defiled and we get polluted, and the sin of this world attaches to us like dirt to feet. And we need our feet cleansed. We need the defilement removed from us. 2 Corinthians, I think this is the only Baptist church I've ever been in that doesn't have a clock on the back wall. I keep looking, it still hadn't appeared. I like that. Amen. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 7. Verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Titus chapter 2. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then back to Psalms 51 again. Verse number 7. The psalmist cried out, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Folks, when the Lord saved our souls, drew us unto himself, showed us Jesus Christ, dying for our sins and shedding his blood for us, we received forgiveness and we received cleansing. But we don't experience that like we should. We don't experience that sweet fellowship with God. We don't experience that forgiveness and that cleansing as God designed and desires for us to experience it. But to experience it, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Sin's the problem. Sin is a reproach to any people. As we've heard, the problem isn't the president, the problem isn't Washington, the problem is sin. And Brother Guiley got onto some real dangerous ground there, but he brought it right down to where we need to bring it. We're the salt and the light, supposed to be the salt and the light of this world. The problem with this country might just be truly traceable back to us. And it's a sin problem. Where is our salt? Where is our light? Where is our influence? Where is our walk with God so that we experience sweet fellowship with him? Where is that constant confession of our sins? That continual confession of our sins so that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us? Where is our experiencing of that? Do you experience, are you experiencing right now here tonight sweet fellowship with God? Are you practicing an acknowledgement, a constant confession of your sins before God? Until we come clean with God, we'll never experience that walk. One cannot have relationship with God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. One cannot have fellowship with God apart from confession. That's what's plainly laid forth in this passage of Scripture. Those of us who are saved to experience that walk with God, we don't need to be saved again. Saved once and for all. But we do need to confess. And he will be faithful and just to forgive us. When we get serious about sin, not in general terms, when we get serious about sin, not in national terms, when we get serious about sin, not even in church terms, when we get serious about sin in terms of ourself, and we really feel remorseful about our sins, considering the holiness of God, and God brings us to the place where we confess, we'll experience the sweet fellowship of God. And never until sin always separates us. God help us to confess our sins, and praise God, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Thank you.